You are listening to episode 4 of Ask the Pastor. I'm your host, Nick Drake, the pastor of Richland Baptist Church in Kingdom City, Missouri. And every Wednesday evening, we have a church prayer meeting followed by our adults' Bible study. And over the last several weeks, we have been doing Ask the Pastor questions that folks in our congregation and community have written into me, most of them anonymously, but letting me know questions that they have about life, about ministry, about the Bible, what the Bible has to say about those sort of things. So this episode is really just one question I'm going to discuss, and that is, how do you start a conversation about Jesus Christ? Now, I wish I could tell you that I have a great answer to this question, but I don't. I've had a lot of conversations with people about Jesus, and I've been blessed to see people gladly continue some of those conversations, with some even placing their faith in the Lord. But I've also tried and failed to start conversations with people about Jesus many other times. Of course, there is no cookie-cutter approach to effectively making this happen as far as it not failing or as far as it going well. I've tried the cookie-cutter approaches like using a gospel tract or asking evangelistic type questions to start a conversation, things like that. While that has worked at times, I've found that it usually doesn't work, at least not at the beginning of a conversation. More often than not, the other person does whatever he can to shut the door quickly in those scenarios. This is why listening and relating to people is so important. Every person is unique. And most situations are unique, but every single person needs the gospel. So that's the reality that we face, the urgency of this conversation that needs to be had anytime we have an opportunity. Questions like this remind me of one of the many things I greatly miss about living in the country of Turkey. You see, in Turkey, like in many parts of the world, having a spiritual conversation is really much easier than it is in America. There were many times when it was much easier to talk about my faith in Jesus Christ than it would have been to avoid the subject. Now, granted, hearts were often hard to the gospel, but it seemed to be much easier to have many more gospel conversations, and I trust God will bring more people to faith and repentance as a result of those conversations, as a result of people hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. There are many examples when that was fruitful, and then many examples when here in America we just don't have, I guess, that type of openness to having the discussion. Well, I want to, and of course, there are many examples in Scripture of what how to start a gospel conversation, how to point people to spiritual things and get people to thinking about their relationship with God. But I want to just read really one example in Acts chapter 17, which I think is one of the great passages of how we bring up the gospel in a, I guess you could say, unique situation, because every situation is unique. But Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 16, says this: "While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was troubled within him when he saw the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with those who worshipped God, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Then also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers argued with him. Some said, 'What is this pseudo-intellectual trying to say?' Others replied, 'He seems to be a preacher of foreign deities, because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection.' They took him and brought him to the Areopagus and said, 'May we learn about this new teaching you're speaking of? For what you say sounds strange to us, and we want to know what these ideas mean.' Now all the Athenians and foreigners residing there spent their time on nothing else but telling or hearing something new. Then Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar on which was inscribed to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in shrines made by hands. Neither is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. From one man he has made every nation of men to live all over the earth, and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live, so that they might seek God, and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Being God's offspring, then, we shouldn't think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image fashioned by human arts and imagination. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day on which he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to ridicule him, but others said, "We will hear you about this again." So Paul went out from their presence. However, some men joined him and believed, among whom were Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So I think there's a few things we can see in this passage, and this is by no means an exegetical or expositional sermon from Acts chapter 17, but I want to cover a few basics that I feel like Paul models for us here and how to start a conversation about Jesus Christ. The first, of course, is that we must pray for opportunities. My experience has been that God is so faithful to answer these prayers. I mean, you think about all that was happening in Acts 17. They were on mission and following the Lord's leadership, and they were seeing results. The gospel was advancing, but with that came a great deal of persecution. And yet with the persecution came more advancement. There's no example of Paul specifically praying in this passage, but it's very clear to me that he was prayerful. He is the one that wrote, and we'll get to this in a minute, but he's the one that wrote passages on how we need to constantly be praying and praying without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So it seems to me very clearly, just based on the results and what was happening, that Paul was a man of prayer, especially here as he was talking with people about the Lord. But not only do we need to pray for opportunities, also consider the situation. Paul saw all the sin in Athens, and he realized clearly how much they needed to trust the gospel. He recognized what they believed and where their confusions were, that they were, you know, what they were doing and the things that were happening. So Paul knew what was going on, and he realized the context of his situation, and Paul considered that, and he used that as part of starting that conversation. Also, I mentioned earlier, pray for opportunities. Pray for wisdom. We don't see in this particular passage Paul stopping to pray, but since he is the one who said things like in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he says things like pray constantly in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which I mentioned earlier. I have to imagine that Paul was very prayerful here, that he was praying for wisdom. In fact, the wisdom in his response, in his presentation, seemed very clear that he was relying upon the Lord, which is what prayer is. If you think about it in this context, it's relying upon the Lord. Paul spoke to the people with wisdom from the Lord. But also, not only pray for opportunities and consider the situation, pray for wisdom, but be respectful. Paul didn't just tell them that they were all going to hell because of what they believed. No, sure, he got to that. He got to the need for repentance, but he respected them in their situation and even pointed out that they were religious, seemingly complimenting them for their religiosity, their faithfulness to being religious. And then, of course, he confronted them in the midst of that religion. So that's the next aspect. We have to be bold. Be bold. Paul reasoned with them, it says. He told the good news. He proclaimed the gospel. He confronted their ignorance and disbelief in the one true God, and then he pointed them to the one true God. And then finally, we have to proclaim the gospel. The conversation simply isn't complete with wisdom and with respect and with boldness, and of course not with love, without a clear gospel presentation. It's just, there's no love, there's no respect, there's no boldness, there's no wisdom without the gospel being presented. Life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation. We have to talk about our need to turn away from our sins by repenting and by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. That has to be a part of the conversation. Beginning in verse 24, Paul shows us how to do this. We see this very clearly as he talks about the essentially creation to the cross. He talks about God creating us, and he talks about how Jesus died, and he died for our sins, and he talks about how the fact that he was risen from the dead, and that there has to be repentance. Paul talked about all of that, and just like with Paul in verses 32 through 34, some will reject, some will ridicule, some will want more, and some will believe. So pray for opportunities, consider the context of each situation you're in, pray for wisdom, be respectful, be bold, and proclaim the gospel. And really, to make it simple, I think they're kind of maybe three P words that you can remember when you think about starting this conversation about Jesus Christ. Pray, pay attention, and proclaim. Pray, pay attention, and proclaim. And those are three things that if we just always remember that, it's and we could add another word, that it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit that anything good happens. So pray, pay attention, trust the power of the Holy Spirit, and proclaim the gospel. I hope this has been helpful for you, and I hope that you will prayerfully consider how you can be more faithful to talking with others about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you and how he has come to seek and to save that which was lost.